Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very, very pleased to have with me today a guy who, special kind of human being, Dr. Kasha Patel. He's an oncologist here in Rock Hill. But he does so much more than oncology. It is absolutely unbelievable. And we're going to be talking about some of that today on our Straight Talk program. Kasha, good to see you. Thank you for working us into your incredible schedule.
Thank you very much, Manning. And it's always an incredible pleasure to be with you to share my views of where we are from the microcosm to the macrocosm.
There we go. All right, so we need to introduce you to the people out here
okay.
who have not had a chance to meet you personally. So tell them something about your background, if you would.
So hello, listeners. Thank you for taking time to listen to our conversation. I'm Dr. Kasha Patel, an oncologist by background, treating cancer patients almost for like 3 decades in my life. I've been in Rock Hill for about 21 years now. And apart from my role as an oncologist, I also lead national organization, which is the Community Oncology Alliance, as a president. I'm also on multiple insurance companies advisory board, and I play my role 2 days a week in my clinic treating cancer patients. The rest of the time, I'm trying to promote population health as a whole because there are lots of gaps in the care that we need to bridge.
Right. Now, before we lose track of this, you brought something very special today that
yes,
I have never seen before.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to explain what this is.
So this morning, I was quite emotional. One of my patients who passed away about 3 months back, his widow brought a 911 medal that her husband got for working during the 911. He was in New York in the firefighter. And she said that the only person I could think who deserves it after he passed away is you. So she brought the original gold medal that her husband got 21 years back as a token of appreciation that I do for them.
Whew.
It's just, I'm still completely, I can't say cloud nine because it's very emotional, but I feel that someone recognizes what we do every day for a living. So that's an incredible day for me.
Well, your reputation for not only being brilliant at what you do, but how Carolina Blood and Cancer Care does it. I mean, you really embrace the patient, and you're doing a lot more than just taking care of them medically. You're taking care of them emotionally.
Absolutely. So our philosophy has been to look at the human being, not the piece of tissue in their body. So we take panoramic view of the life, you know, a husband, a son, a father, cousin, spouse. When you look at multiple roles that each person has, you always feel you want to treat them as a whole human being, not a piece of tissue. So our philosophy is to deliver true patient-centered care. And in fact, I forgot to bring, 3 independent journals have written about my life. 2 journals appointed a special journalist to track where I was in the course of my life from India, UK. They interviewed people all over the world, and they wrote about my life. And one of the titles was Oncologist a Million Times Over.
Very appropriate. And I've read one of those articles, and it's right on spot. I mean, this got you. So you have, as you say, you only practice medicine 2 days a week.
Yes, sir.
You got a good team that fills in the rest of the time.
Absolutely.
And you've been off on this journey, I'll call it, to try to build a connection with people's general health care or lack thereof and cancer. So tell me what this is all about.
So, you know, Manning, what I'm learning more and more in life is that cancer is a multi-system disease. And there are multiple causes of cancer, include stress. So what I just started learning is that stress can lead to inflammation, can lead to cancer. Now, stress doesn't have to be losing millions of dollars. There are something called social determinants of health. Place where you live, food that you eat, the debts that you have. People don't have transport. There are patients I see who do not have place to live in. And all of this make cancer care delivery very complex. And unless and until we take care of all of this, we cannot provide right kind of care. Just give an example. If patient does not have a stable housing, if patient does not have consistent food supply, and if patient does not have mortgage assistance, they are 20% more likely to die of cancer, even with the same stage and same treatment. So in order to provide a true patient-centered care that covers every aspect, we need to look after their social determinants of health. And we started a big journey about a year and a half back. And thanks to you, Manning, it was a godsend help. When we started looking at patients in February doing the data, in the first week I found homeless patients, and you actually introduced us to the pathways. And it's been a journey that actually our national magazines are writing. They're actually lining up to come to learn from us as to what we are doing as a partnership between the pathways, you, your team, you know, Forrest Emerson, and Alex, and all of that. So it's just incredible journey. I feel that my purpose as a human being in life would have been unfulfilled if I never met you.
Oh, geez. Come on now. Come on. So what you have done is, and we're not just picking this stuff out of the sky. You have quantified this with tons of research. I mean, I've seen some of these papers of yours.
Yes.
I mean, you've been collecting data and analyzing data for quite a while now.
Absolutely. And in what we've learned is in last 8 months, we found about 1,000 plus patients who did not have a cancer screening done. So we are trying to help them get cancer screening done. We found patients who did not have food supplies, so we refer them to pathways and they help us with that. We have patients who didn't have house. And so, first of all, identifying the problem will only lead to solution. Many people talk about it, but we really act on that. So we are, like I said, you know, there are national journals writing about us. It's not about me. It's about collectively, if we come to conclusion that all solutions are local, every county in America has a philanthropic organizations. But because of the silos and compartmentalized approach, people don't know how to seek help. And we are putting an example in place that eventually can be used at national level.
So now what this guy has done, this is what's fascinating to me. This guy's got a heart as big as his table. You have created a foundation called No One Left Alone.
Correct.
NOLA. And the whole idea, as I understand it, is to make sure that anybody who walks through your doors that needs cancer treatment and doesn't have standard insurance or the wherewithal to take care of it, you're going to take care of it.
Absolutely. So the whole purpose of NOLA is our office is like a shrine. When they walk into that, every physical, emotional, social needs, economic needs has to be fulfilled. And I was so blessed enough to raise significant amount of money that even pay for the insurances that take care of the out-of-pocket cost. In year 2021, we raised about $2.3 million worth of direct and indirect help. But as a result, not a single patient in the counties that we serve or those who came through our doors ever had to worry about their out-of-pocket costs.
Sure.
We took care of all of the stress from economic barriers. Now we are going into social side, for example, getting them insurance, getting them food, getting them transportation. And I mean, these are all human beings. I mean, they have same right to live like the way we all have.
And what you have done is you've established the connection that when people are in the kinds of conditions you're talking about,
correct,
don't have a place to live,
right,
don't have food, worried about money, that internalizes into them being more, I guess, likely to contract cancer and not be able to be cured.
Absolutely. So the studies have shown now, actually in 2021, a big research was published from NIH showing that the chronic stress itself from multiple reasons can trigger inflammation, which can lead to cancer. So as much medicines as we use in terms of the chemotherapy, if we do not take care of the mental stress, and that could be day to day, oh, my child cannot go to school today because I don't have money for caregiver. I do not have a transportation today. I don't have money to pay my utility bills. And fortunately, Pathways Group has helped us so much in alleviating all of this burden off of our shoulders.
So the connection that you have right now with Pathways,
yes, sir,
is that when somebody walks into your office,
uh-huh,
or they walk into the Pathways office,
correct,
you two guys are reciprocating in terms of fulfilling what the needs are.
Right.
Is that basically it?
Exactly. So we identify needs assessment, we identify knowledge gaps, and my team every Friday meets and we start making calls to the Pathways. We refer patients to the Pathways, and then Pathways, with their resources, they'll guide them. On the other side, if Pathways come across a patient who has need for the cancer treatment, who has a need for certain health issues, they send to us. And we actually complement each other. We live in what we call biological symbiotic space, where we are facultative parasitism. And I do feel that my idea is that in a year or so, we'll write a national thesis on this one and encourage communities across the country. We opened up a separate second chapter of NOLA at Myrtle Beach, a colleague of mine. She works with me as an oncologist, and she's trying to replicate what we are doing. I'm going to take it over to Georgia and other parts, because we want to spread the good model that can be learned across the country, and then many more people will follow.
Of course, you know, it raises a bigger question, which is when you find people in these conditions,
uh-huh,
you can temporarily resolve the issues. You can give them the treatment because you have NOLA.
Right.
Pathways can help them out with food and some shelter, what have you. But long term, we have to correct these problems or they're going to be right back at your front door again.
Exactly. So we are trying to build an ecosystem. So physical body for the human being with the name XYZ is one part. But then that patient has a home, their stressors, conditions, family. Within the limitations of what we can do, we try to alleviate any and all additional factors that can trigger worse outcomes. So our whole purpose, once again, is to build an ecosystem so that no patient should ever feel that they are in the journey of cancer by themselves.
All right, so here you are in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Correct.
And you're now working with Pathways to do this.
Yes, sir.
Realistically, how long do you think it's going to take that where you can achieve this next step, which is you stabilize them, you treat them, but then we have something to pick up from there and get them up on their feet on a more permanent basis?
Well, I think it's very interesting. So the fact that we're able to build the ecosystem, and if you're able to remove the stressors and teach them that these are resources, America is a very philanthropic country. The problem is we work in silos. So a right hand does not know where the left hand help is. And what we are doing is we are trying to break the silos and say, well, Pathways, I mean, incredible resource. There are so many national organizations, they want to learn about how Pathways work. Every community has Pathways kind of organization, but they are not as efficient as what you've done. You've done an incredible job of bringing all these support social services under one roof. And we want to see if we can write, publish, and speak about this at national level, it could become a solution solver. In fact, I've been able to even steer some of the Medicare pilots into the right direction, saying that when you design a new, what they call value-based care model, you define value as something that includes the social determinants of health, and the gaps in the care outside my office need to be filled to qualify for value-based care payment.
And that's something. Well, you know, Alex Greenewalt down at Pathways has done a remarkable job. You know, there's 17 nonprofit agencies,
yes,
under one roof,
uh-huh,
that are actually working together,
mm-hmm,
so they can address, you know, the issues that come through the front door as a team,
right,
rather than in silos.
Mm-hmm.
And that was no easy accomplishment, but it's working.
It's working, and we've seen first example, like I said, our patients who were homeless, they were able to help them right away. Then our patients who do not have food, and now look at the insurance fund. So we are able to attract outside agency support that we can work with Pathways to provide direct insurance help to patients to make sure, and the patient doesn't have to be my patient. They can go to Pathways, any patient in our communities that needs cancer treatment that have no insurance. Pathways, we created a special fund that can provide the assistance for the insurance premiums.
You know, everything in this country seems to boil down to money.
Right.
And when you gather data like this,
uh-huh,
and you take it back to these pharmaceutical companies,
right,
and insurance companies, and they can see what's going on here, I would think their wheels would start turning, to say, you know what, we might be able to lower everybody's costs if we can, you know, kind of take what you're doing
and replicate and across
the country. Replicate it, exactly.
So this afternoon, actually, right after this, I have a call with another company at 2, which says we want to support your venture. Good. So talk to us what your asks are, and I'm going to present my asks, you know, help me replicate this model outside my practice because we've created enough resource for 2-3 years, but I want this to multiply across the country.
Fascinating. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. A thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, let's see how quick a learner he is. Kashyap, we prepare fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. The white letters we're going to say together at the count of three. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Slice, garden, slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Founders knows you must use your best money-saving strategies to reach your full financial potential, including finding the best interest rates on your credit cards. In our current economy, you've got to make every dollar count. That's why Founders offers low balance transfer rates on all their credit cards. Get the most out of your credit card. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc to apply and save today. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now open. The new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is more about property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
If you want to find the best subs and salads, tell Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Kashyap Patel is with us. He's an oncologist by profession, but he's a humanist, I guess.
Humanist.
Yeah, humanist by whatever.
Philosophy.
Well, I mean, the work you're doing
is
just remarkable. And if you happen to miss the first half of the show, please go back and listen to it again on WRHI.com, because what you're finding from all your data is that people who don't have the basics of life,
correct,
shelter, food,
utilities,
income, they are more likely to contract cancer,
correct,
and will be probably more prone to succumbing to cancer.
Absolutely.
And that's what the data is showing. And you've managed to put together, you're continuing to put together, a broad network of pharmaceutical companies, other organizations, that, including Pathways down here.
Right.
Where, at least in this community.
Right.
This is what's amazing to me. Through his foundation, No One Left Alone, he's making sure that anybody who walks through his door that needs cancer treatment If they don't have the money and if they don't have the insurance, not a problem. You're going to take care of it. That's remarkable.
Correct. And, you know, let me add, I believe in what I'm doing. So to endorse what I believe to my partners, pharmaceutical companies, when I turned 61, I gave my own $61,000 to the foundation.
Yeah,
and I've decided that every year when I add one more year, I'm going to multiply that by $1,000. So this year I'll give $62,000. I believe that healing and treatment needs an ecosystem. And in order for me to get enough credibility, I wanted to show that I believe so much in the cause that I'm going to put my own personal sweat equity to ensure that no one is left alone.
I think that's wonderful. All right. We're going to run out of time, I'm sure, as I'm sitting here. Now, we've all been through the pandemic,
correct,
COVID. I'd like to think that it's behind us, but
so
what do you say?
So acute phase of pandemic is behind us. You know, we probably will not see like 10, 20,000 people dying every day. But what we are seeing is the aftermath. I call the post-pandemic pandemic. Few studies that I've read show that up to 80% patients who had COVID have some one or the other symptom from the post-COVID long haulers, which it's also known as PASC, post-acute sequelae of COVID-19. And this include anything from the cardiac arrhythmias, heart failure, stroke, embolism, arthritis, neuropathy, we are worried about cancer as well, because COVID virus gets inbred into our genome and it triggers autoimmune reaction, and inflammation is probably the end result. So we have started noticing some of the unusual cancer patterns, younger age, faster growth, multiple cancer in different patient population. So we are in a phase of right now studying. But I have a strong suspicion that a link will emerge between the chronic inflammation induced by COVID-19 and rapid progression of cancer or occurrence of new cancer. In fact, there are about three papers I read recently. The title was that, is cancer a sequelae of the COVID-19 virus infection? And the other paper said that, does COVID-19 inflammation reawakens the dormant cancer cells? And we've started seeing that in our clinic. Unfortunately, it takes 3 to 5 years before we can correlate cause and effect relationship in cancer side. But I'm actually started blowing alarm across the country. So I just have two calls today with insurance companies as well as our national research organization to start really raising concern that we can't just take it easily, because viruses are known to cause cancer. There are about HTLV-1, HIV, Hep C, all of these viruses cause cancer. The problem is COVID is everywhere. So when we look at people with HIV, maybe 1 or 2 million, we have 200 million Americans who had COVID. So what will be the impact if the link is really established?
Whoa. Okay, that sounds like another show once you figure that all out.
I have to try to figure it out, sure.
Right, now, you've also been looking for a link between colon cancer and these same conditions we were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we also noticed is that in the number of new patients that we've seen over last 2 years, we've seen trend in the colon cancer, liver cancer, and the biliary tract. So again, we are analyzing our own cancer patients. We probably will have enough number of patients by the end of the year to have a publication, and that will help us to see, is there a direct link between the, again, COVID-induced inflammation and a colon, biliary tract, or any other cancers. And I just want to share a personal story. A friend of mine, 51-year-old, I've known him for a long time. He even came for our NOLA event, called me at the end of November saying, I'm having fever, sweats, get tested, and he's no more. He had a stage 4 kidney cancer, but he had severe inflammation from COVID. So he became the SIRS.
Oh, geez.
So it's a serious stuff.
Mm. So from here, where do we go? I mean, by the way, I wish I could sit here and talk to you about the books you've written, the pictures you've taken. It's fascinating stuff. I mean, you are a man of the world,
Thank you.
You really are.
So I think we are starting research now. So I've proposed to our national group to study 10,000 patients at 20 different centers prospectively to see the difference between vaccinated, unvaccinated, COVID, COVID negative, inflammation biomarkers, and see if there's any correlation that can be established. And the purpose is that if we establish relationship, then I can request pharma companies to start developing intervention that you could target inflammation and reduce the risk of future cancers.
Well, sheesh. That would be something.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, besides doing all this,
yes,
you have been traversing the country.
Yes.
Talking at different places. I love the picture. Which president were you standing by? Was it Barack Obama?
Barack Obama recently, yeah. about in October. We actually were in the same meeting, in the same speaking kind of panel. So, and then I had to come early because of the event in Charlotte, but otherwise next day I was supposed to be with Bill Gates in the same meeting. This was the National Meeting on Human Genomic Studies.
So when you meet with people like Gates and with Obama,
yes,
do they understand exactly what your research is beginning to show and offering any kind of help?
So Bill Gates definitely has offered a help to this genomic science. And President Obama started original something called Personalized Medicine Initiative in 2015. Because of COVID, it got on the back burner, but I'm actually taking the whole movement to a different level, because biologically we are very different. So one of the ways we can address disparities is study the human genome in different ethnicities and figure out the difference in susceptibility to different diseases.
Well, okay. You know, you're getting now in a realm I'll never understand, which is you need to be sitting here talking to my brother-in-law. He would understand what you're talking about.
I would love to.
All right, so from a practical standpoint, you've established the linkage.
Correct.
Between just the disparity that some people face day in and day out. Not having food, lack of money, no shelter, stress. And you've established the link between it.
Yes.
And the susceptibility of them being more likely to get cancer.
And then also the outcomes getting worse.
And the outcomes getting worse.
Yes.
All right. Now, with that data, have you heard, I don't know, a response from, let's say, pharma or from some of these foundations that we think you've got something here, now we got to find a solution to this?
Yes. So what we are doing now is we are talking to the payers, because at the end of the day, if Medicare ends up in burning so much money in treating cancer, but if there's 20% patients, no matter what you do, are going to have worse outcome because they don't have food or anything else.
Right.
So in the next model, what they call the value-based care model, they're going to define collection of the data for anybody who wants to have extra incentive payment from Medicare and also try to address it. So yes, there's interest brewing up from pharma side, from the payer side, to ensure that the beneficiaries, you know, I would rather spend more money in preventable things like food and utility than $200,000 saved on cancer treatment.
Exactly. And I hope that's the way they see it.
Yes.
Akashic, our half hour has gone by. This is really intriguing. Scott, you got to see this. This is a gold medal that was given to somebody who survived 9/11, who lost somebody at 9/11. And their sibling or their loved one passed away, and they gave it to Dr. Patel. Wow. Kashyap, thank you for all that
you
do.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're a great guy. Keep up the good work. We'll do this again.
I'll do my best.
That'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. One more time, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.